Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding countries of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Catherine. That was beautiful. Thank you, Cheryl. We have a love-hate relationship with pigs. On the one hand, pigs are dirty. They're fat. They're disgusting. They wallow in mud. They make strange noises. Most people, when really pushed, don't care much for pigs. That is, unless we are eating them. 36% of the meat consumed in the world is pork. Kind of surprising to us beef-eating Americans, but we eat our share of bacon as well. 36% of the meat consumed in the world is pork. It is the number one consumed meat, followed closely by chicken, and then fish, and then beef. So this relationship we have with pork, with the pig, has some tension in it, doesn't it? We all like our bacon, but none of us want to have pigs in our backyard, because pigs are unclean. Now, two large groups of people in the world, the largest being the Muslim world, and the smaller of those being the Jewish world, do not eat pork for religious reasons, because they consider pork to be unclean, and they get this from Scripture, because in Scripture there are commandments that the Jewish people, the Hebrews, are not to eat animals that have cloven feet. Now, I won't get into all the details of that, but in that time, it was a pretty good idea not to do that, because it was not safe for their health. But this idea that pork is unclean even continues today in religious circles. But it was definitely a part of the time when Jesus was alive. And so we hear this story that involves these pigs, and it's important for us to understand that these swine that end up being possessed by these demons and going over the cliff are considered by the Jewish world as unclean. But we also must be reminded that Jesus is in a Gentile community. And so these swine are a form of livelihood in the Gentile community. So we must keep those things in mind as we read this story. Because the other thing in this story that is unclean are the spirits that possess this man. This man that Jesus encounters, this man that confronts Jesus. This is a very typical story in the gospel stories, especially in the Gospel of Luke. Luke has probably about 20 stories of Jesus encountering demons, unclean spirits. But the unclean spirits, the demons, are usually the one that start it. They are the ones that confront Jesus, and they usually confront Jesus by calling him out. It's a very interesting dynamic that Jesus never claims to be the Son of God. His disciples rarely ever proclaim it, but every time Jesus encounters a demon, the demon comes out and says, "I know who you are." And Jesus usually says, "Shh, be quiet, come out of there." So these unclean spirits are the ones who are identifying Jesus as the Son of God. The unclean spirits in the New Testament are usually not evil spirits. They're spirits that are more often associated with a physical ailment, with a mental derangement. But it's not a person who's going around doing evil things. It's usually a person who, we would say today, has a mental illness. They're different than the rest of the people. But they also have an awareness of things that the regular people do not have an awareness of, and one of those being the identity of Jesus. So we have this encounter with an unclean spirit. And our challenge in these stories is always not to keep the story back in its day and time. We need to understand the context of the story, but we always need to bring that story into our day and our time and say, what are the unclean spirits in our world? Now, one of the most obvious, we could say, oh, well, it would be mental illness. I don't think that would be quite the compassionate thing to say about people who have mental illness. Because a mental illness is a physical illness. It's not a demon. It's not an unclean spirit. But where are the demons then in our world? And I think the story suggests to us that the demons are in many places. Simply by the name that the demon uses to identify itself. Did you notice that this conversation takes place not between Jesus and the man, but Jesus and the demons? And when Jesus says, "What is your name?" he's not talking to that man. He's talking to the demon. And he says, "What is your name?" And he says, "My name is Legion." We already heard Jeff refer to the understanding of that name. Legion means many. Sort of got a double meaning as well, because at the time, this area of the Mediterranean was under the control of the Roman Empire. And the Roman legions were feared. But the word legion itself just means many. And the demon says, "I am legion." There are many demons. And bringing that into our day and time, we ask the question, who, what are the demons? What are the unclean spirits of our day? I want to suggest a few. I would suggest that in our world today, we have unclean spirits of racism. We have unclean spirits of misogyny. We have unclean spirits of nationalism. We have unclean spirits of greed. We have unclean spirits of numerous kinds in our lives. These are the spirits that live in each and every one of us in some form or fashion, and they are always identified when we are afraid. At the very core of identifying the unclean spirits in our lives is fear. What are the things we are afraid of? And if we begin to define those things we fear, we can begin to identify the unclean spirits within us. And we can begin to identify those people, those places, but mostly people that we consider to be unclean, meaning less than us. Who do we fear? And a very interesting dynamic begins to take place that we see in this story. As we project the unclean spirit, the fear in our lives onto whoever it is we consider to be unclean. So our prejudice, our racism, our misogyny, our greed, all of those things get projected on whoever it is we think is unclean, whoever is different. This dynamic is taking place all around the world today as one group of people projects their fears on another group of people. We see it in our country. Every day, as the shadow side of us is directed toward those whom we fear, the people who aren't like us, who make us feel uncomfortable, the people who are different. He slept in the city cemetery. His name was Jose Garcia. He sat on the doorstep of the church where I was the pastor in the little town of Forsyth, Georgia, that sits right on I-75 and has a very high number of transient people coming in and out of that little community. Our small community's primary mission, and it was an ecumenical one that all the churches were involved in, was caring for this transient community that so many times would have their car break down on the interstate and have no way to even repair a flat tire. Well, this particular man came by the church that morning wanting to know if I could help him, and we sat and we visited for a while, and I learned about him. Now, this is back in the 1990s. He was from Guatemala. He was working here, and he was up and down I-75 all the time with migrant workers. Probably worked right down here in this community at different times of the year. And he worked in order to send money back to his family. And I asked him, I said, "So where do you sleep?" And he said, "I sleep in the cemeteries. Whatever town I'm in, at night I go to the cemetery. I'm safe." He said, "Nobody comes to a cemetery at night. It's a nice, quiet, peaceful place, and I can get a good night's rest." Maybe that's one of the reasons that this man in the story we just read lived among the tombs, because it's the only place he could find peace. Jose Garcia, that was his name. But his real name is Legion, because there are thousands of Jose Garcias in the world. For the first time since World War II, there are more displaced people in the world today. Around the world, there are more people who have fled war, who have fled political discourse, who have fled persecution, who have fled starvation, who have fled violence. There are more in the world today than since World War II. His name is Legion. Their name is Legion. And they are living in the shadows. They are living in the tombs because they are afraid, because we are afraid of them. Do you see how that works? When we are afraid of change, when we are afraid of a culture, a people that's different than us, then they become afraid of us. And this unclean spirit just goes back and forth. The United States Census tells us that there are 350 languages other than English spoken in the homes of the United States. 350. Nearly 25% of the population of the United States speak another language other than English when at home. Now, a large majority of those will speak English elsewhere. Some don't, but most of them do. Because most of the people in the world are at least bilingual, if not trilingual or even more. This is the United States. In urban areas of our country, in some of the larger cities, in most of the larger cities, that percentage is anywhere from 35% up to over 50%. Of people who speak a language other than English in their homes. Our country has changed. We are in the process of becoming part of the rest of the world. And it's not just the United States, it's other nation states as well. That's why there is so much tension in the world today about migration. Everybody is trying to protect their little corner of the world. Did you notice in this story that the people, when they saw what had happened with this man, they were afraid? They said, "Jesus, get out of here. You're messing up our system. You're causing things to change. Get out of here. You're even changing the way our economy works. Our livelihood just went over the cliff." And Jesus says, "Okay." And the man who just experienced freedom from these demons turns to Jesus and says, "Let me go with you." And Jesus says, "No. You need to go back. And you need to keep telling the story, so these people won't forget that they are part of something bigger than they think they are. You tell the story about the release of unclean spirits so they don't forget it." This is a story about boundaries. This is a story about building walls and building fences to keep people different from us away because of our unclean spirits that we project on others. His name was Legion. His name is still Legion. And Legion still lives among us in the tombs, in the shadows, and out in the open. Amen. Don't raise your hand or speak out on this question, but just think to yourself, how many of you live within 1 mile of this church? When's the last time you saw this sanctuary packed with people? I'll tell you, the last time I saw it packed with people was just a few weeks ago when Skycrest Elementary had their graduation. This sanctuary was packed. We had chairs in the back and in the transom back here. And every one of them were different. Right here in our neighborhood. Hiding in plain sight. My friends, the world is changing. The world has changed. To use the old expression, the train has left the station. And it's time that the church, that people who claim to be followers of Jesus, get on that train. Go back into that town and tell the story of love and acceptance and grace and mercy for everybody. Amen.